like that, reminding us of the years that have passed. Somebody mentioned about the articles in the mainland brochure, UK Focus, used to come out. There were three or four articles, and they began with the words, "It's hard to believe." Well, it's hard to believe all those years have passed. And yet, we look back with thankfulness to God for the Lord's hand in our lives, bringing us into fellowship one with the other, standing for the great cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would remind you that though I have been here from the earliest days, it was my father and mother's choice. I was very, very young. I can recall coming to the old hut in Henry Street. Our brother, Abram Grimason, was the superintendent, and I still think about that day whenever somebody had put a sod grass or something on top of the pipe. I don't know whether anybody here can recall that, but the whole building filled with smoke, and we were outside as a Sunday school waiting to get in. They were tremendous days when we look back, not because of smoke-filled rooms, but because of the blessing of God that was in those meetings. And then, of course, when we moved to this site, we think of the hand of God that has been upon the congregation and God's blessing that has come down through the years to this day. We look to God that God will give greater things, and the blessing of God will descend in a greater measure in the days ahead. I know time is moving on. Would you turn in God's Word to the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis? Might I say it is a pleasure. I don't think I need to say that. It is a pleasure to be with you here today. And we do thank God for this 40th anniversary of the opening of the building here. And we look to the Lord, that the Lord will come, bless our hearts today, maybe settle our hearts as we come to think upon the Word of God. And we're turning to the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses in Matthew's Gospel 24 as well, but I will keep our remarks mainly to these verses in Genesis 5 and 6. So we're moving to verse 27 of Genesis chapter 5. And we will read through to the 6th chapter as well. It is a short reading, and then I'll read a few verses from Matthew 24. Verse 27 of Genesis 5, "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then I'll leave with you some verses found in Matthew chapter 24. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. And in verse 37, he says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The end of reading there, we'll bow together in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together as we come to think upon His Word today. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word and Your truth to our hearts. We thank You for the Scriptures. As we turn to them now, we pray that their truthfulness will be impressed upon our heart. We pray, Lord, that You'll help us. Help, Lord, in the congregation here. We pray that there may be that rededication to the great truths and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that You'll meet the need that lies in each heart. We pray that Thou wilt steady us in our Christian life in an age of worldliness and godlessness. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to be firm. Help us, Lord, to be bold. And we pray, Lord, that You'll undertake for us as we think of this man, Noah. And we pray, Lord, today that Thy blessing will rest upon us now. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and grant power with which to serve Thee. And grant that the Word will come with power to each and every one of our souls. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. If there is a text, and I will be consulting some parts of this portion in Genesis chapter 5 and 6, but if there is a text I would like to leave with you, it will be verse 29. And it says of Lamech, he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Our brother mentioned that I have become a grandfather. That is true for the third time, actually. And our grandson has been given the name Noah. I was checking this out, actually, and Noah's becoming a very popular name nowadays. In fact, I think a couple of years ago, it actually was, if not the top spot, it was very close to it, perhaps number two, as far as the name of boys are concerned. And I think over this past 3 or 4 years, actually, some over 3,000, 4,000 babies in this past number of years are actually given the name Noah. It's an interesting feature of the modern age, isn't it, that that should be taking place? Whenever we think even of the godlessness into which our age is descending, I think we also should remind ourselves of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, as it was in the days of Noah. It cannot have escaped the notice of God's people, as there is a phrase, the times are changing. That's certainly very, very true. Whenever we look back over 40 years, the country that we live in today, as far as its morals are concerned, as far as its thoughts of God are concerned, has altered considerably. And that's particularly so in regard to our nation. The 21st century is a century of godlessness. And as God's people, those of us who are now grandparents and growing older, we look back across the years and we look at our present age and we wonder what's taking place, what's happening in our world. What's happening is the fulfillment of what the Word of God actually says. As it was in the days of Noah. And therefore the life of Noah, the character of this man, in the age in which he lived, which descended into such wickedness and godlessness that God said He would destroy the world with a flood. And only he and his family were left. That situation's not going to happen again, that we get right down to a family one family in the world. But one thing the Lord Jesus Christ did say is that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. It therefore should not surprise us that in the day in which we now live as believers, we find the godlessness, we find even the cause of Jesus Christ intimidated by the world. It is to be expected. Perhaps there are those gathered around in God's house today, and you have a weight, as it were, upon your mind. I don't think that we should feel anything different, by the way. Our mind should be weighted. We should be grieved at what's taking place, but lest you be so discouraged, lest your heart be so downcast, and you end up losing your effectiveness for God, I believe the life of Noah, this man whom Lamech here names as a child and what he says concerning him, should encourage you and I. I would first of all draw your attention to the time in which Noah lived, the characteristic, if you like, of these days. Adam, it appears, has been dead for some years. Seth too, by the way. The world of Noah's day was a world in which there was a descent into all kinds of sin. It's not detailed in the Bible. But nonetheless, we can read there in verse 2, the sons of God, I take this to mean, by the way, the people who were off the godly line of Seth, those who were marked as the sons of God, at least professing so, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. But what actually took place? They began to intermarry and intermingle with the ungodly. And we read there in verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And if we reflect a little on the word of God, if you go back through chapter 5, you'll discover Enoch. Enoch is described in the New Testament as a preacher. He declared the coming of the Lord with 10,000 of his saints. We're not told in great detail what was going on through these hundreds of years subsequent to Noah being born. But we are given an insight into the nature of the world at that time. It was descending into sin. It was descending into wickedness. Let me say something to God's people, to our own hearts. I am quite convinced that many of God's people have grown greatly discouraged because of what they see around. You should not allow that to happen. But we ought to realize that the world is heading towards the coming of the Lord. And as it does so, there's going to be that increase in wickedness. And God has warned us in the Scriptures about this. In fact, God has given us all the grace that we need through Jesus Christ to be able to stand in this wicked age. I'm reminded here of the story of a military company during the war. It was led by a man called Captain Winters. They were a unit trained to deal with specific situations, particularly when they were under great threat. They were in Holland. The town where they were was becoming surrounded. The German army was advancing in during the Second World War on this particular occasion. This captain was up in a tower. He was observing the enemy as they were moving in with their tanks all around this particular village. And quickly he shimmered down the stairwell of the tower and he said to his men, "Everything's normal. We're surrounded." to remind us, men, this is what they've trained for. This is the circumstance that they'd spent all that time before in preparation for this very eventuality. Needless to say, they were able to withstand every assault that came upon them, even though they were completely surrounded. Brethren and sisters, let us not be discouraged in the age of sin, in the age of increasing wickedness. These are the very things the Lord said will occur. And we will have to enter in. What God promises to you and I is the grace and the strength of God to be able to witness for Jesus Christ in that age. And I'm quite sure, if I could just say one thing here about Noah and his birth. You will see here it says in verse 29, he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands." Lamech obviously is seeing the direction of his world in which it's going. And prophetically he gives a name to Noah. How much he knew of what was going to take place in Noah's life by way of an ark, by way of the fact that his family will be preserved. We don't know. But nonetheless, he knew that there had to be something more in this world than just an increasing wickedness. And so in a prophetic way, he gives Noah this name, which has the idea of comfort and rest. And that's telling me something. Lamech was looking towards God's future blessing, God's future help. And we know, of course, that the ark was a great symbol of salvation. It's a symbol of salvation in Christ, by the way, which I'll mention at the end. But just to point out something, Lamech, as he looked around him, could see the effect of the fall. It says, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." But he's realizing something. There has to be something better than this. And that something better was the fact that Noah would be preserved. There was a salvation. And brethren and sisters, that's something for us to get our eye fixed upon. This is an age when you'll hear many saying, "Well, in today's society, we have to make accommodation with people." And you have a clamor today to destroy the Word of God, to leave it aside as if it doesn't really matter, and just reach accommodation with individuals, and accommodation with various groups. You have a minister, so-called, in this town, who is prepared to make an accommodation with sodomites. That's how far things are going. Brothers and sisters, we need to realize something. The answer for the world is not some kind of compromise with it. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. What the age needs, what individuals need, as the world descends into increasing wickedness, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The atonement which Christ has fulfilled upon the cross of Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing from sin, the new birth. Let's get our focus on that again. That's what the world needs. It needs Jesus Christ. It's going to face judgment. And those who live around us without Jesus Christ are going to face one day the awful ruin of God, the judgment of God upon their soul if they die without Christ. Let us lift our eyes away from the machinations of men and let us focus afresh on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that will meet the need of man. Built into this very verse in the naming of Noah is that very idea. You will notice also, if we think about Noah, the kind of man now that he became. He was a witness. Even right now, when he's being named, Noah, Lamech says, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. That is, as this man grows up, as this child grows into manhood, as he lives, his name means comfort. And we know that in spite of all that is taking place, God will bring comfort and God will bring rest. And therefore Noah becomes a man who is a witness to his day. What a witness he was. Because as you go down through the passage, it says in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can I suggest some thoughts to you about Noah? The kind of man that he became. Had to have been a man that came to know the Lord at some point. Can I ask you in this service, have you had such a meeting place with Jesus Christ? That's the way to know God. Are you saved? You need to be saved. We've already mentioned how a day of judgment is coming. You need to be right with God. If we are saved, I want to leave some thoughts with you about the character of this man, Noah. Can I say to you that this was a very distinctive man? The tide of wickedness was going one direction, further and further into sin. At 480 years, I leave you to work out those figures from the passage. They can be worked out. God comes to him and says, I want you to build an ark. For you found grace in my sight. And that tells me something about Noah. Here's a man who is distinct in his generation. God's people, that's what we're to be in this world, a distinctive people. I was thinking of this, thinking of the words of Philippians, and you recall there in the second chapter, Paul the Apostle is reminding God's people what they are to be in the age in which they live. Do all things, verse 14, without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And what Paul is saying is, your behavior, your life, as a child of God, it is to be a distinctive life. A life of holiness. A life of godliness. You are a light in the midst of a dark and crooked world. And in the midst of that crooked darkness, shine by your godliness and by your behavior. Child of God, that should come with more power to our hearts in this day and age than any age. As this world descends into wickedness, as our land descends into wickedness, our light should be shining all the brighter. For some people think, oh well, the time has come to hide away. The time has come to bury our heads and not be so open, if you like. This is the time for greater godliness. This is the time for greater light. Greater light. God in Christ has given you and I every grace to live in whatever age for Jesus Christ. One of the striking things to note about Noah is, here's a child born into a wicked age. You hear parents often say, this is a terrible age. How can you ever bring children into it? Well, you remember that Lamech saw his son Noah brought into the world. And that man was so distinct in his age, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Never despair in the midst of wickedness. God gives every grace. Your task and mine is to be a distinct light in that age. Can I also say, not only was he distinct, but he was a man who did something bold for God. I mentioned earlier, he wasn't a man for hiding. He couldn't. God said, build an ark. Can you imagine it? God said to you, build a boat in your backyard. You could hide it. You couldn't hide the ark. Noah did not say on that occasion, well, Lord, you know, would it not be better to find a little bit of higher ground? Maybe we could build something a little bit more smaller. He got on with the task. For 120 years, he labored on that vessel. Day by day, plank by plank, nail by nail, if there were nails, tree by tree failed. Year in, year out, Noah is building the ark. A man who was the object of ridicule, every day he built that ark. That's something to face up to, isn't it? Sometimes believers can get the idea of, well, if I do something faithful in my life once, that'd be a great testimony. And then you can kind of live off that experience, if you like. You can't really. Walking with Christ is a day-by-day matter. You have to prove the Lord every day. But I want to stress concerning Noah here. Remember the age in which he lived? Remember the task which he fulfilled? Every day in face of the world, Noah was a man known for those years as the man who's building an ark because he believes there's a flood coming. What are you going to do today, Noah? I'm going to fell a tree. I'm going to have it sawed. And I'm going to make planks. And I'm going to add another bit to the ark. That's how he was known. All through those years. Child of God. That's what should characterize our walk with God in these days. Every day. Walking in the light of God's truth. Every day, walking in the light of what God commands. Walking with Jesus Christ. Committed to all that the Savior has shown to us. Just as every blow of Noah's hammer was a witness to an unbelieving age of a coming judgment, our life, our conduct, our walk with God must be a constant witness to this world against its evils, but of the light that is in Jesus Christ. As that ark pointed to a way of salvation, so Jesus Christ is the way. The way. I say a little word to young people, particularly. A word for all, but I think a word to young people is called for today. You're facing, no doubt, in your own mind, the ridicules that are all around you against the gospel, against the word of God. You're a believer in Christ. And perhaps it has got to the stage in your mind where you're saying, well, you know what? Given the situation we're in today, given the wicked age, given the arguments that seem to be overwhelming, even the very faithful testimony of the cause of Christ, I don't say they are, but maybe in your mind that's how it appears. You're at a crossroads in your Christian experience, your Christian life. Are you going to bury yourself? Are you going to bury your head? And bury your testimony?
and bury your walk with God with a shield of anonymity that you're going to say, well, nobody's really going to know anything about me. Why has God saved you?
He saved you and I to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. How is my burying myself, you burying yourself, going to fulfill that? It can't. I suggest to you, be a Noah. Every day, commit yourself to the great cause of Jesus Christ. Every day, seek to be involved in the cause of our Savior.
As he had a hammer in his hand, as he was identified with that ark, say, I'm going to identify myself with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to identify myself with this world. I'm going to identify myself with the Savior. I want to encourage you. Noah was preserved in his day. And the Lord knows how to preserve his people. And he knows how to preserve you. And knows how to give you all the grace to do the task that you are commanded to do. To be a light in this crooked world. A few weeks ago, the presbytery gave us the privilege of going to North America for the week of prayer. We had an enjoyable time. I believe we knew the Lord's presence, but I have a friend in the city of Toronto who is working. He's not a converted man, but a man from the Ardara area, and his company that he works for is working in Toronto. They're actually putting a pipeline in, quite a large pipeline, some 40 miles long through the city. It's a storage pipeline. I suppose the pipe is about that wide. And I had the opportunity of taking a couple of hours. He took me down to see one of the sections of the pipe. They were welding all the different bits together, 40-foot sections, inch thick steel. And they were down off the highway into one of the fields. And there they were setting up each individual pipe weighing 20 tons and showing how they welded the pipes together on site. I must confess, it, in one sense, took my breath away to see those men working. Very, very skilled individuals. The foreman told me those particular welders, he identified them, he said they are the best in North America. And when the two pipes were positioned into place and brought together, they're all chamfered at the edges to within a mil, all done on site in this field environment. And the pipes are brought together. And there's a piece of equipment that goes up through the pipe. It's a welder. And then this is carefully prepared. To see those men working on that steel edge, preparing it, you can see skilled men at work. The machine goes to work, puts a weld. Another building comes over the top of the pipe. Three men go inside that building. And then they get to work. And by a series of welds, over and over again, they were working in 50 degrees of heat. They got that pipe welded together. Not in a factory. Not in a controlled environment. But out in the field. You know what that illustrates to me? It tells me, child of God, Lord has put you and I in this world, not in some kind of cozy environment, a difficult environment, an ungodly environment, but in that environment, God knows how to give you and I grace to live for Jesus Christ. And what you and I are to be are those who boldly stand up and stand forward for Jesus Christ. You wonder, will I have the grace? Well, you'll know the grace of God when you stand for Jesus Christ. Young person today, don't waste your life. Don't hide your testimony behind some kind of shroud. Realize why the Savior has saved you. That you might be a witness for him. That's what Noah is. That's what he was. He proved the Lord in his lifetime in that desperate, wicked age. I'll leave with you one thought, for time has well and truly gone. In this name of Noah, there is a comfort. I mentioned earlier how far Lamech knew things would go. We cannot be absolutely sure. But he saw in Noah something prophetic and gave him this name, which means comfort, which means rest. And of course, we know that that comfort and that rest lay in the ark, the preparing of it, for the saving of that household. And that ark, of course, is a great picture of the Lord Jesus. You can think of the pitch within and without. The word there actually is the same word which is translated in other places, atonement. So it's a wonderful picture of Christ and his atonement and his blood shed. That ark has many features, and time does not permit me to go into them all, but I think you can see clearly it speaks of Christ. I was strengthened in our message this morning, because when I looked up there, I'd forgotten that the picture is of the ark. It speaks of Christ. And that thought, linked to his name, which means comfort and rest, causes us to think of what's our comfort in the midst of this world. It's only one thing. It's Christ. It's his gospel. It's what the Savior has wrought for us in redeeming us, saving us from our sin. This world is not our home. We seek for a city whose builder and maker is God. One day we're going to be in the glory. We look at loved ones and friends over many years here, one by one, they're passing away. But they're just passing away for a little time. The day will come when we will stand among the spirits of just men made perfect, and there we will sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Then, in glory, we will stand wondering, I'm quite sure, in rejoicing of what the Savior has done for our heart. And the Savior has fulfilled in our lives in redeeming and saving our soul. That's our comfort. That's our comfort. Are we weighted down by this world? Are we weighted down in our hearts and minds by what's going on in the world? We should be looking up to Jesus Christ, reflecting on what we have in him and the saving grace he's brought to our soul. That's our comfort. That's our comfort. Be heartened today, child of God. Look afresh to Jesus Christ. Not to this world. It's dying. It's heading for judgment. We in Christ are heading for glory. To be with Christ forevermore. May God help us to be a witness in this dying, godless age. And I trust that days will come when we will see, even in our society, God reaching into the hearts of individuals and redeeming and saving them. I believe we can still look for that. And reviving and the movings of God once again. Pray for that. Let's be faithful. Think of this man, Noah. Think of the stand that he took. Think of his witness for Jesus, for the Lord. Think of that symbol of the ark that he was looking to for his saving. That speaks of Christ. That should remind us we have a Savior. May we ever look to him. May we be helped in these days to stand for Christ, our Lord and our Savior. May God bless his word to each of our hearts.